At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
EAGLES, Eagles.
Welcome in, everybody, to a Tuesday edition of Birds 365 here on Jacob Sports. I'm your host, Xander Krause. That's my co-host, Johnny Mack, John McMullen, the number one Eagles beat reporter in town. Thanks for being here, everybody, on this Tuesday morning. Johnny Mack, how you doing on this Tuesday, brother?
Doing well. Got some news yesterday.
Yeah.
Football 24/7 season. That's what I'm going to start calling it. Business season in the NFL. For now, it already happened once and it came back, so it could happen again. But for now, looks like the Eagles are planning to move on from Darius Slay. But I wouldn't put a period on that just yet.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not putting a period on that just yet. We'll see what they end up doing there. John, what's your first thoughts on that, man? You know, you talk about the ramifications, I think, of losing a player. I mean, he was still playing at such a high level. I know he was in and out of the lineup, but, man, when he was on the field, man, he was a damn good player still to the end of his time here in Philadelphia. And now you look at, you know, you're trying to maintain what you built last year in the number one overall defense. What's the best solution to that? I said yesterday, John, if the number's right and if the sides can agree, I think Slay should be back. I think it's a better alternative than going with Isaiah Rogers and Kelee Ringo battling it out. But I understand people want to get younger. How do you see this now with Slay, right as of now, out of the lineup?
Well, you know, you look at it both ways, because I agree with you. If they can get him to agree to an $8 million, $10 million deal, like somewhere in that range, I think the best way to go forward for 1 year is Darius Slay, because it's very unlikely that a re-signed Isaiah Rogers or Kelee Ringo in his first year starting is going to play similar to what he did last year. Now, the problem with that is at some point, the old adage, father time is unbeaten, is correct. So, I mean, he's 34. He's going to be 35 on New Year's Day 2026.
Right.
At some point, it's coming. And when does that happen? So that's where the Eagles – that's a difficult decision for the Eagles. It has been. But he played so well last year. I think if you can get him on a cost-effective deal, you run it back for one more season. That's how I kind of look at it. But if not, they have plenty of in-house options. I don't think it's going to be difficult to re-sign Isaiah Rogers for a couple reasons. One, people just don't think he's an outside corner as a starter because of the size deficiencies he has around the league. So now, PFF, which is generally the best when it comes to contract projections, it's got him at 1 year and $3 million. I can't believe he can't get a better deal than that, but it tells you kind of the realm he's in. They're going to be able to get him if they want him back. And then, you know, Kelee Ringo, which is the guy they would want, you know, in a best case scenario, that's the guy they want to seize the job. He's got everything you need to play outside cornerback in the NFL. 6'2", he's physical, 210 pounds, somewhere in that range. Runs a 4.39, whatever it was,
right,
at that size. Got the tremendous length. Everything you could possibly want if you're building an outside cornerback in a lab, Kelee Ringo's got it. Does he have the football IQ? Does he have the savviness? We haven't seen it yet.
Yeah. No, we haven't.
Vic Fangio trusted Isaiah Rogers last year as the third cornerback. Now, you can say, well, he's younger and needs some spirits. Vic had no problem trusting Quinyon Mitchell and Cooper DeJean.
That's what I'm saying, John. That's why I said this yesterday. I'm like, if I believe Vic Fangio and the way he trusted all the other guys, then I'd have to say Kelee Ringo wasn't ready yet, based on how Vic Fangio handled every other young player on the roster.
Yeah, and that's fine. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. People adjust at different levels, and it's very rare that corners excel to the point Mitchell and DeJean did as rookies. That's the outlier, not Ringo.
Yeah, that's true.
There's nothing wrong with developing slowly, and he's got another offseason, another spring, another summer to get better. And if Slay doesn't come back, hopefully he wins the job from the Eagles' perspective. And also throw it, you know, nobody's brought up Eli Ricks, to my knowledge, but me. They've kept him around for 2 years.
Right.
Not quite as physical, but he's got the same attributes. Not quite as fast. But
he did, Ricks did play a little bit like 2 years ago, right? He didn't play at all last year.
As a rookie, he played a little bit for us, but he was out of position. That was the year they used like 9 slot cornerback.
Yeah, right.
He's not a slot guy. 6'2". Now, the problem, he's not nearly as physical as Ringo. He's not as fast. But he's got natural cover ability, especially in this defense, which is going to play a lot of zone, a lot of corners, a lot of cover three. He's got good ball skills. So he'll be in the mix, too. You know, by no means do I think he would be the favorite. But I do think people should bring up his name a little bit more than they probably do. And I think they have so many in-house options, they don't have to look out of house for another corner, but, right. So certainly not in free agency. And the draft, I've mentioned the Morrison kid from Notre Dame simply because he's going to fall because of injuries and he's really good.
And if he's there at 64, I would consider him.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And that type of situation, I might take a shot on him, just because of the value at that point. But it's unlikely. And it would be 95% it would be in-house. And the part that incenses people, boy, I wrote on Twitter that the Eagles scouted Cooper DeJean as an outside corner because yeah. He scouted Cooper DeJean as an outside corner. And then as you boil it down to the roster, you hand the players to the coaches, and the coaches utilize them the best way. It's a big puzzle. It's a big piece. There's injuries involved. And obviously Cooper excelled in the slot. All I'm trying to say is the organization believes he can play outside corner. Like, there's no doubts.
Right. Doesn't mean they're going to move him right now, but that's how they evaluated him.
Yeah. There's a lot of doubts outside because all the stupid stuff and people who don't realize how athletic Cooper DeJean is and he can't do this and he can't do that. Yeah, he can. And you know, at some point the business aspect comes into it and the reality of outside corners get paid more than inside corners. That comes into it. And the bottom line is if Bick comes back last year and it might be somebody you don't even think about, like Perry Nickerson, who's a veteran corner, and somebody can play inside. Right. And he's better inside. The group of him inside and Cooper outside is better than Kaylee outside. And, you know, is it likely? No. But you got to throw it in the mix because he can do it. And if you're talking about today and there's no Darius Slay, the second best outside cornerback on the Philadelphia Eagles is Cooper DeJean. And you got some people in that building would argue he's the best. And I know one high profile guy who told me he's the best.
Yeah. People think highly of him, man.
So, yeah, don't get all your, you know what, in a bunch.
Hey, I want Cooper DeJean on the outside. I think he's going to be lights out down there. I just understand this is a little bit of more of a complex issue where because they have options in different areas, you know, where are they going to do? It might be easier for this year to keep Cooper in the slot. But, John, here's the other thing, and I think Dirty Air brings up the comment I'm about to say. If you're going to move him, shouldn't it be now? I mean, if he doesn't move out there this season, is he going to get stuck out there? Think Landon Dickerson, put him at guard, boom. He's so good they don't move. You know, is that a possibility with Cooper DeJean?
Yeah,
if you're going to move him, wouldn't you want it to be sooner than later?
It is a possibility. And, you know, it's one of the reasons the Eagles might have decided to pull the trigger and move on. Because this is what they drafted the kid to play.
Right.
So just put it in the back of your minds. Now, again, it's hard to find, as you saw the year prior, it's hard to find cornerbacks. But I get so many comments. It's harder to find a nickel corner than an outside corner. You guys have been spoiled, man. Nobody can find outside. Everybody's looking for outside corners in this league. Everybody. They're looking for slot corners, too. They're looking for corners.
Right, corners, yeah.
But outside corner is more important than inside corner in the NFL still. You know, when you see somebody excel and then use the outlier, well, look how important Cooper DeJean was. Best cornerback in football, according to PFF. Yeah, he's the outlier. He's really good.
Right.
You don't have to worry about Cooper, whether he's outside, inside. You don't have to worry about
it. Right. But I guess then because he is the outlier, that would change the Eagles' approach because they're the ones with the outlier, right? I mean, if you have Cooper DeJean and he is the outlier.
Yeah, and they have to make the decision. They have to make the decision. And that will come down. And that's why I say, believe me, the hope is that Kaylee Ringo can hit take off. And then everything is copacetic. And then down the road, you got to deal with maybe setting the market, and there could be. But the Eagles have proven that, you know, they'll pay good players if they believe in good players. So I'm not too concerned about that. But the assumption that, oh, you just throw Rodgers out there. Oh, you just throw Ringo out there, and they're going to be fine at outside corner. Believe me. NFL teams are excited about not having to face Darius Slay on a weekly basis.
Yeah,
the way he was playing last year. And you saw it a little bit because Rodgers played very well in limited snaps when he had to play when Slay was banged up, when Mitchell was banged up late. He played very well. But you could see at times, you know, a lot of times they couldn't take advantage of it, but they tried to take advantage of it. And if he's out there 100% of the time, that's what they're going to be game planning for. Remember, you come into a game and you're game planning for that Eagles number one defense and it's Slay and Mitchell. And you're like, oh man, what are we going to do with, you know, this group's playing so well. All of Bick's zone coverages, all that kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden in game, Slay gets banged up. He's got to come out and Rodgers comes on. Well, if Tom Brady's out there, yeah, he's going to probably say, all right, let's go pick on him. Most teams aren't that adept.
Right.
But if they're coming into the week, like I can tell you right now, if Slay doesn't come back and it is Ringo or Rodgers, that's going to be circled from day one. That's assuming Zach Bond is back. Assuming they've solidified the defensive front because that's a foundational principle. So I assume whether they lose Josh Sweat and Milton Williams or get somebody else, they're going to solidify that. That's going to be the number one thing they circle, the opposition. All right, we're going after this guy.
Yeah.
Still a very good defense, but, you know. It's not Darius Slay out there.
Yeah, I mean, look, you're no longer climbing the mountain. I guess you are in the new year, but you got to the mountaintop. Now, how do you sustain having the number one overall? Sometimes that's harder, John, than getting there. You know, they have the number one defense, and how do you keep it? And with Slay out the door, you know, that's your first starter lost on this defense, and there's many others, obviously, right now that are lurking that could be lost as well. So, I like bringing Slay back. What do you think that number would be? You mentioned 8 to 10. I said 8 million. I like 8 million. But, you know, John, we talk about trading for a guy like Myles Garrett. That's where I think if you're going to make that move, you're probably not going to pay Slay. At least that's how I see it, because you're just going to have to pay Myles Garrett a bunch of money. You still have big contracts coming up in the future. I don't know. You think they would get Slay and go for Garrett or what kind of money you think Slay would command? And then what are the circumstances you think that they would be willing to go to that number?
Well, that's I think at this point it's very similar to Baltimore in 2023 when Slay was basically out the door. and then Dom convinced him to come back. I think it's very similar to that, but the difference is the Eagles aren't paying him big money anymore. And by that, actually $14 million is not even that big for an outside corner. No, but again, his age, it factors into it. And I mentioned Stephon Gilmore because that's a guy who's sort of ahead of Slay from the standpoint of, you know, his career, former defensive player of the year, bunch of all pros, and he's continuing to play at a satisfactory level.
Yeah.
At, you know, whatever he is. He's basically the same age.
He was 34 last year. He'll be 34 this upcoming year. Yep. So he turns 35 in September.
Yeah. And he, you know, he's been on this sort of treadmill. I think it was Indianapolis. I think it was Carolina, Indianapolis, Dallas, Minnesota. Bang, 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 bang. Like 1 year,
right?
$8 million. And he's played at a high level in all those places, but nobody wants him back because the reality is you want to get younger at that particular position. You want to, the old adage, you give up on a player a year early than a year late,
right?
And he keeps playing well. It'll probably sign somewhere else this year for $8-10 million.
He signed last year, 1 year, $7 million, fully $7 million guaranteed, 3.5 signing bonus. So
and he played pretty well.
Yeah. And here's the thing about the getting younger thing, John. I get that point, but the reason I think that I make a change, or I'm willing to make a different move here, is because you did get younger. You spent your first two draft picks last year on cornerbacks, and both of them to this point have panned out. So you got younger. You know, it's not like you don't have a contingency or you don't have younger players in the room for the future. You got younger and they were great. Now you need to sustain the number one overall defense. I think you're in a different situation versus if Slay was your only option and you didn't have younger guys in the room. Yeah, you might be like, all right, it's time to get younger. We need to draft a cornerback. We need to do some things at that position. I think they already checked the box of getting younger.
Yeah, well, and also they're really good. They're a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the window is open. I think everybody knows that. So, you know, if you look at that, really, Carolina in 2021 wasn't a contender. Indianapolis in 2020 wasn't a real contender. Dallas in 2023 thought they could be a contender. That would be the one day. And even Minnesota, which turned out to be a contender. Nobody thought they were before the season. Everybody had them in last place. The Eagles are the best team in football. And, you know, if they started up again right now with the same group, they'd be one of the favorites to go to the Super Bowl. Obviously, that's not going to happen, but you get my point. They're a lot closer to where 1 year is meaningful than maybe other places. So, you know, if Slay is willing, and part of it is also, who is somebody out there, is Detroit going to pay him $14 million? You know, he said on his podcast he'd like to end his career either with the Eagles or the Lions. I can't imagine that contract is out there.
I can't imagine, especially in Detroit. I mean, they're going to be in the same boat where they got so many good players, so many people to pay. I don't see that for them either. Now, I don't know what their cap situation is over there, but I don't see that. I mean, and then the other thing is, John, how much is the human element involved in this? I mean, you know, he says he's got 1 year left. Now, I don't know what Slay's personal life is. I don't know if his family lives here. I don't know if his wife lives here. I'm not sure what it all looks like, and I'm not going to project what it is, but does that come into it, you think? 1 year? Do I want to move to a new city for 1 year where I can stay where I am? You know, what do the taxes look like in a different place versus what they look like where I am now? You know what I mean? All those things factor in. I wonder how much the human element comes in as well, where Slay might just be like, do I want to play somewhere else or should I take a pay cut to play in Philly?
Well, you know, and that's, I don't know if it's up to him. And he doesn't, you know, he's a Texas guy. So, you know, obviously taxes play into that. But, you know, these guys make enough money to where they can live where they want in the offseason and, you know, come back and during the season. But at least players that have made the money he's made for so many years. So, you know, from that standpoint, my only point is I don't think, you know, people are saying it. I've seen a lot of people phrase it that he's going to have to take a much lesser salary this time around, which is correct. And maybe he'll balk at that. Well, if he's balking at that, then he's not playing next season. That's kind of what I'm saying. I don't think the $14 million, $15, $16 million contract is out there for him.
Right.
And I think that's part of the strategy of the Eagles announcing it, saying we're gonna release you post, and you know, sort of, I don't know if they're gonna give him permission, but I assume they're gonna give him permission if he's gonna be, you know, released to have his agents look around and see what he can get. And I think it's gonna be a situation like Brandon, only a cornerback. You know, if he wants to come back 1 year, in the case of Brandon, whatever it was, lesser fives, you know, with some incentives. If he wants to come back at 1 year, $8 million, come back, win another one.
Yeah.
And I from the standpoint of, you know, taking lesser money, that's going to be his reality if he wants to play this season, whether it's in Philadelphia or another city. Because I can't imagine any situation where any team is going to pay a 34-year-old corner, even one as accomplished as Darius Slay, $14 million. And I point to Stephon Gilmore, who all due respect is actually more accomplished from a career standpoint, as a perfect example. There's literally an exact example. That contract is not going to be out there anymore.
Can be interesting to see what they do there. I mean, you talk about Isaiah Rogers, John. He's a free agent. You know, well, I know that you said the value is not too high right now in the open market, but I feel like with the Super Bowl, and he did make a play in the Super Bowl, maybe somebody, some stupid team will come in and give him $4 or $5 million at least. What do you think he's going to get on the open market, and do you anticipate he will be back, especially if they don't want Slay back?
Yeah, I definitely think he'll be back if Slay's not back. I don't even concern myself with that one because I don't think it's going to be cost a ton of money. As I mentioned, generally the best when it comes to contract projections is Pro Football Focus, and they had him at 1 year and $3 million, which I kind of went, boy, that's it. But, you know, if you think about it, you know, he's still got the gambling stuff over his head.
Yeah.
You know, he's got the deficiencies that, you know, he's 5'10", 100, and he ain't 5'10", by the way. That's what he's listed at. 176 pounds, and he ain't 176 pounds.
And he's smaller than that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ooh, 5'10", that's short. I'm taller than that.
Well, that's part of the reason why everyone said, well, he should be in the slot. He should be in the slot. Right, he should be in the slot.
Smaller dude.
However, he's not comfortable in the slot. He's proven himself outside in limited snaps, both in Indianapolis and Philadelphia. He's played very well. He deserves credit. But the reality is, from a contract standpoint, that's why it's so low. That's why it's so low. And I don't think they're going to be way off. Could he get 1 year, $4 million? Could he get 2 years, $6 million? Sure. But you know, the Eagles can do that. And he's going to be very loyal to the Eagles because he's very, he was very appreciative of them taking a chance on him. Nobody else would.
Right.
When he was suspended, everybody said, well, we'll deal with that when he gets reinstated. The Eagles said, no, 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 we'll sign you.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
You'll wait your year, and then we'll bring it. So he's very appreciative.
He was a part of the team, too. He wasn't like a bottom roster guy that never saw. I mean, he was a part of the Super Bowl run for sure.
Oh, he's a good player last year. Darn it. And if it wasn't for the size and it wasn't for the suspension, you'd probably be talking about a guy who's going to get pretty substantial deal. Not top of the market, but, you know, 2 years, 10, 12, something like that. But those are the reasons why it's not going to be difficult to re-sign Isaiah Rodgers.
We'll see what they end up doing there. Johnny Mac, one other question that came from this Darius Slay release that I think is worth talking about on the show. I saw a couple comments on the show about it already. Why is James Bradbury still on the roster, but Darius Slay is not? Like, what are they waiting for with James Bradbury? You would assume that the relationship has come to an end. Is there a reason they're holding on and not releasing him? Can you give us a little insight on that?
Pre-June 1st is, I'm looking up Bradbury.
Didn't they designate Slay as post-June 1?
Yeah, but there you can only do that twice.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't realize that there was limits on that.
Yeah. And so you can't just do a bunch of stuff post-June 1st. So right now, if they cut them right now, it's $5.6 million. A little bit more than that. Let me see. Actually, I'm looking at a trade. They're not going to trade him. Yeah, but same thing. $5.618 million. They would lose in cap space where if they wait till after June 1st, they get $2.1 million because they can spread it out over 2 years.
Okay. I didn't know that there was limits on that. So I was like looking at it like, well, if you're going to release Slay, why not just release Bradbury too?
You got to be very judicious with those post June 1st moves. So that's the reason. I just told them to post June 1st.
Yeah, I heard Bradbury talking at the end of the year about potentially, you know, being a coach. I don't know the guy, but I love that for him. I think I could so picture that for him. I think that'd be a great role for him. I don't know if he would do it here or if he would move on and go somewhere else or if he's even going to retire this year, but I heard him talking about that. So pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I asked him about that. Because when we were down at the Super Bowl, couple of the coaches, Roy Anderson and Christian Parker talked about how helpful he was to Quinion and Cooper and behind the scenes. And so I asked him about that and he said, but he wants to play. He still thinks he's got something left. So that's for a couple years down the road. And obviously he's not going to be here.
Yeah. We'll see what they end up doing there with James Bradbury. And you just brought up an interesting point about the teaching in the locker room. John, is it that you draft two rookie cornerbacks, and with your first two picks, Quinion Mitchell and Cooper DeJean, they both talk about how much Slay, and I guess you could throw Bradbury in there too, Slay and Bradbury have helped them as veteran corners and giving them guidance, and vice versa, Slay is also mentioned helping those guys out, and both of them have an incredible season. You know, and that's one of the things that I wonder if, do you want Slay in the room again? I mean, you already got younger. You know, he did such a good job. Now, I'm not saying it's all on Slay. Obviously, those guys played well. But is it a coincidence that both of them played as well as they did, you know, with getting guidance from Slay? I don't think that's a coincidence. Maybe you see it otherwise, but I think that's another reason to potentially bring Slay back.
No, I don't think it's a coincidence. And, you know, his leadership is one of the underreported things, I think, for whatever reason, because of his personality, I guess. People that don't know him don't realize, even no matter how many times Nick will say it or teammates will say it or, you know, three-time team captain, and this is not, you know, not, oh, I'm going to give it to my best players. The players vote on that. You know, he's a great teammate, and he's a rare teammate from the standpoint, as I said, because of how he grew up. I mentioned this yesterday on the show. he constantly talks about when he got drafted in Detroit. Yeah, you know, the older players there taking him under his wing and teaching him, and they didn't have to do that because, again, it's kind of counterintuitive to, hey, we drafted a guy 36th overall to take your job and go help him take your job. It's kind of counterintuitive. But because it happened to Slay, he's always felt a responsibility that he should do it for younger players, and he does it for younger players. And yeah, that's not bull crap. I mean, Quinion and Cooper have a lot of respect for Darius Slay. Right. And it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world from that standpoint, the leadership standpoint, because if he is here, he's going to get voted a team captain again. I guarantee you that.
I value that. I know not everybody does. I know everybody loves getting younger. But, I mean, you have a young team right now. I value some older guys in the room that can be veteran leaders. I think it's important. I think it's helpful.
Yeah, it's going to be tough to replace him from that standpoint. Not that it's the most important part of it, but it is a part of it. And, yeah, everybody loves the guy. And I saw a great quote. I forget. I think Andrew, our buddy Andrew DiCecco, put it up from Christian Parker. He said, you know, when your best players are your best people, basically,
right?
That leads to some good things. And that's what he said about Slay.
Yeah, and he also, I saw, I don't know if it was Andrew DiCecco who put up that the other clip as well, but I saw another clip floating around. I think it was Elliot Shore Parks of Christian Parker when he asked about the most impressive young corner in the room, and he said Keely Ringo by a mile. I don't know if that was the exact question, but something along those lines. And he mentioned Keely Ringo, so maybe they're high on Keely Ringo. I don't know. The only thing that concerned me with Keely was all these young guys got a chance at some point in the year last year in Vic's defense to get on the field, even if it wasn't full-time role. I mean, Jalix Hunt got on the field. Trotter was on the field. All these young guys found their way onto the field. Keely Ringo was the one guy that he really didn't find his way onto the field. Now, maybe it's because there was no spot for him, but.
Yeah, that I mean, that was, you know. But besides Quinion and Cooper, who earned the job and jobs, and in the case of Quinion in training camp, in the case of Cooper after coming back from the injury, and that was a big move week five to put Cooper in there. You know, Jalix Hunt wasn't playing. He played because of injuries. That's why he got his opportunity, and he excelled with it, but that's why he got his – even Nolan Smith wasn't playing that much and only got an opportunity due to injuries.
Right.
So that luckily, you had some in-game injuries, but luckily not significant when the case of Slay and Quinion Mitchell got hurt late in the playoffs, the one game, but was able to come back. And, you know, so I don't hold that against him. But, you know, Rodgers played more than he did. And that you can look at and say, but, you know, from Christian's standpoint, what he's talking about is his physical gifts, because they are enamored with his physical gifts. And they should be, because when I say that, he is like, we just went through, and we're going to have Devin Jackson from the Inquirer on in week hour two, talking about the draft. And we just went through the whole combine, where that's what everything is about. You want this trait. You want this trait to play this position. He has every single physical trait you need to play outside corner in the NFL. I mean, to the point, if you were going to build a outside corner in a lab, he might come out looking like Keely Ringo.
Right.
Just long, big, physical, fast. Now, can he play the position at a high level? That remains to be seen. But I remember talking to AJ when he was a rookie. He's like, whoa, this dude. Because from a physical standpoint, he's not going to fail. You know, if he fails, it's because, you know, complicated coverages,
right?
You know, communication, things like that. But And that's why I say that's what they want to happen. Kaylee Ringo taking that job. That's what they want to happen. Right. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. And he did play 129 defensive snaps last year. So he did get out there a little bit.
Okay.
And he was maybe their best special teams player. And that's meaningful. Vic mentioned that at one point late in the season. It's like, I'll tell you what, when good defensive players, you never see good defensive players who were bad on special teams early in his career, is what he said. You never see it. And he's really good on special teams. So that's a positive.
Yeah, interesting stuff there. We'll get a couple super chats. John, last question on this topic. A lot of people mentioning, you know, Malachi Starks and Nick Emmanuori and all of these potential secondary guys in the draft that are probably going first round or second round. Do you anticipate the Eagles to use another early pick on a secondary player? I've almost ruled that out completely because I just don't see him using it again, but maybe they could. Do you think that's a possibility to go down that road? I know Daniel Jeremiah mocked Malachi Starks. It's early, so it doesn't mean that much, but he did mock Malachi Starks to the Eagles in one of his mocks, and you know how that goes, John. Everybody starts loving it, and Nick Emmanuori, I guess, had a crazy combine performance over the weekend, so a lot of people are high on him.
I think he's right.
I don't think so either.
That specific player probably, he was so impressive that sort of like Stewart up front, he's probably out of the range. I don't think so. Again, I think they're going to trade down. I think there's going to be a targeted trade down. I think defensive front, I think tight ends. They're very deep drafts at defensive front, tight end as well. Now, if the perfect storm hits, you never say never. I mentioned Morrison later. You know, if Starks falls to like 40, you know, who knows? Then the value becomes better. But, you know, and I'm just at, boy, I got, because this Cooper stuff is driving me insane. And I'm not even going to bring up the person, but I got something on Twitter because when everybody is on the same page as a fan, it should scare the shit out of you. And this NFL age, a slot corner is of higher value. That is a dumb statement. That is a dumb statement. Stop saying it. I'm speaking to fans. If that's the case, they would pay slot corners more than outside corners. If that's the case, Cooper DeJean would be an all-pro because he was the best cornerback in football. It is not how the NFL looks at the position, because you watch somebody have an historic season. And by the way, recently, when you look at Patrick Robinson, he might have been the best slot cornerback in football when the Eagles won Super Bowl 52. He was out the door the next year.
Yeah, it's true.
Now, that's not going to happen to Cooper DeJean. I'm not trying to say that. But understand, no, stop saying that. It is not harder to find a slot cornerback. It is harder to find a slot cornerback like Cooper DeJean. That's hard.
Yeah, because he was so damn good.
It is not harder in the NFL. In this age, the NFL values a slot corner higher. Stop it. I go on this little tirade because I got 15 of the same comments. Where are you getting this? Where's the empirical evidence?
I've never thought that. I've never thought that. I don't know where that line of thinking comes. I mean, I get it. People don't want to move Cooper. But just say that. Just say you don't want to move Cooper. Yeah, why do you have to say that?
That's fine.
Yeah, right.
And I find it so interesting because last year it's like, you got to evolve the offense. You got to evolve the offense. You got to involve the offense. You're still going to say it this year. You got to evolve the offense. You need new ideas, fresh ideas. You got to bring in the Bowling Green head coach. Yada, yada, yada. Kellen Moore. Blah, 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 on defense. No, keep everything exactly the same. Keep everything exactly the same because you had a great season. No evolution needed? None? You can stand still?
Yeah, that's how you die, Johnny Mac. As soon as you start standing still, you're on your way.
Maggio's 66 years old, and that's what defines him. And to a certain extent, Andy Reid, who's also old, and Bill Belichick. They kept evolving, and they keep evolving. But please stop saying that. Because Cooper DeJean played well. Who was the NFL Defensive Player of the Year?
Patrick Surtain. Well, I see your tweet that you're referring to. That tweet blew up, all right? Johnny Mac with a big old tweet yesterday about Cooper DeJean, and I see the comment. John, I see the replies. I can see the anger through the screen.
It's driving me crazy. You're just ill-informed. Now, the fact that the kid had a phenomenal year is you're gauging it on that. Are you going to... To be honest, the odds of Cooper DeJean having the same year in the slot next year as he did this year are pretty minimal, because that's just the way it works. You have up years, down years, and he was so good, it's going to be tough to get better from a consistency standpoint. But boy, that part just... Again, you could look at the cornerback salaries. We did that last week, and everybody's going, the kid from San Francisco. Well, yeah, all right. You gave me an outlier. What about the other 20 guys? I don't get the argument. The NFL does not value slot corners more than outside corners. It's an absurd statement.
Do you think there's a chance in the next 5-10 years, maybe less, that, you know, the NFL starts shifting positional pay, where it's like you pay the most valuable guys on your team a little bit more than you would just based on their position like it is now?
No.
No,
no, because I think you're getting more value guys than at GM than personnel guys.
Right.
There's more... And that's where I think Howie beats, because Howie's considered a non-football guy, but now he's been in it so long, he's a football guy. He's been a football guy for a long time. But early in his career, people would look at him. That's how they look at Alec Halaby now. Oh, he's an analytics guy. Well, Alec, I've talked to Alec a lot over the past couple of years. That dude does more scouting than he does analytical work, but nobody knows it. They won't believe it, whatever. It's just part of the process, the analytics part of it, and that's how he got his foot in the door. But there's more, you know, today's the franchise deadline. So, you know, the Vikings aren't going to franchise Sam Darnold. Now, there's a lot of people say, you should franchise Sam Darnold, you should run it back. They're GMs, and he's a value guy. He ain't franchising him.
Right.
Because that's just not how they think.
Cowboys are probably going to end up franchising that defensive tackle, which is funny.
Yeah. So there's getting to be more and more Kwesi Adopa-Mensahs in the NFL than traditional scouting guys. So, and I'm not saying it's right, but that's why you already have it to the point where, all right, the NFL will pay this position, defensive tackle. They'll pay defensive tackles. The Eagles just won a Super Bowl with their most explosive players, at least, however you want to describe it, at two devalued positions, being their best.
Right.
They're only all pros. Saquon Barkley on offense, Zach Bond on defense. Milton Williams is still getting more money than Zach Bond.
I know. Which is why I tried to explain to people yesterday on the National Football Show when I was on there that they also factor that type of stuff into draft picks, because they need value from draft picks if they pan out, especially when you're paying so many good guys. So if you draft an edge rusher and he plays like Nolan Smith, it's all instantly more valuable than if you draft a linebacker in the first round and they play like an all pro, because you can find that elsewhere for cheaper money versus an edge rusher. You're getting max value. That's why teams trade up to take quarterbacks, because if the quarterback pans out, they have the best situation in the NFL world. So, you know, value is a big part of it. And it's got to be factored in for sure. Let's get to a couple comments, John. I do think the slot thing you brought up is interesting, you know, because people look at this defense and they're like, well, look at what happened when Maddox went out and Cooper came in, which I understand. But I mean, it certainly doesn't dispute what you said. Dre comes in. What about Sidney Brown in the slot? He says
he played a little bit there as a rookie. And again, they used like 9 slot corners because everything went so poorly. But I mean, you in packages, you know, he can big nickel, as they call it, where you're playing essentially 3 safeties on the field. So I think there's a place where it can be a package, but not consistently. No, not consistent.
I don't see it either. General JD, what's up, brother? Hope you're doing well. Hey, fellas, I know we've been talking a lot about Davis's fifth-year option, but what about Nolan Smith? He should be due soon, too, correct? Well, he was the year later with
he's next year.
Next year, right?
Yeah, he's eligible for an extension next year. But the fifth-year option, yes, he'll be May of next year.
Going to be interesting to see, man. There's a lot of defensive line moves this team is going to have to make in the next couple of years in terms of contracts and paying people. And, you know, I think Jalen Carter's going to reset the market. I think Nolan Smith's going to be doing a big bag of money. It's going to be interesting to see how they handle it all. But good stuff, General JD. Appreciate that question. Appreciate everybody in the chat today. Don't forget to hit that like button. All right, it's a Tuesday edition. We're inching closer. John mentioned today is the final day to franchise tag. Now, the Eagles don't play that business because – we're a good organization. Eagles are a good organization, so they're probably not going to franchise tag anybody. But that deadline is today, and then we're, 8 days out next Wednesday. Is it next Wednesday, John, that the free agency period kicks off at 4 p.m.?
Well, yeah, March 12th officially, March 10th is the so-called – it's actually a legal negotiation period.
Right.
It's not legal tamper, but what everybody calls legal tamper.
Yeah, right.
So you'll hear most of the deals will start to unveil themselves earlier than March during the negotiation period. But so we'll get some news breaking certainly quickly at that time.
You think anything's coming before then, John? The closer and closer we get, man. I don't know, man.
Oh, yeah. Stuff's happening every day. I mean, you've seen it with Slay here locally. But
will Bond be signed? Because if we get to that Wednesday and Bond's still not under contract.
It's not a good sign if he gets 4 o'clock Wednesday. Not a good sign.
Not a good sign. We'll see what happens. I'm going to thank again everybody for being here. Hit that like button. When we come back, we're going to talk a little defensive line. It's a defensive show. We just talked about the secondary. Darius Slay is out right now. What's it look like now moving forward with life after Darius Slay? Cooper DeJean, Quinyon Mitchell, where do you move? Keely Ringo, Isaiah Rogers. We talked about all those things. So when we come back, John mentioned something earlier in the show about replenishing that offensive line or defensive line, because that's the most important part of the defense in the organization's eyes. So what does that look like? We'll talk about that when we come back here on Birds 365. Before we get to the break, I want to tell you guys about the great people at BetUS. Go and check them out. Use the promo code YouTube150. Go to betus.com.pa. That promo code gives you 150% sign-up bonus on your very first deposit, and you get 125% on your second and third deposit, all up to $2,000. So deposit less and bet with more at BetUS. Go to betus.com.pa. That's betus.com.pa. And a big thanks to them for sponsoring the show today. They have the fastest payouts in the industry, 24/7 customer support, and they'll even give you your own custom account manager. So again, big thanks to them for sponsoring the show. Go check them out for all your betting needs. That's betus.com. Big thanks to them, and we'll be right back in 3 minutes on Birds 365.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.